Hi there, and welcome to August's monthly call. So originally planned for Wednesday, 26th of August. Fortunately, you know, people couldn't attend, which is absolutely fine. Everyone's busy. It's really difficult just getting these together. So I thought I'd spend a little bit more time putting this together and getting some resources for you throughout the call that you can use. So we'll talk about that as we go through. Okay, so as always, when I start these calls, just to say I am here to help. You've got my email, you've got my WhatsApp. Please ask me any questions you need. If you want anything else out of the membership, you want to learn something new, you want an area covered, whatever it might be, just please message me and let me know. So today, some very quick updates as always, and then we're going to have the main topic, which is building on last month's call about energy systems and about run types. We're going to look at specific race distances, and we're going to look at how we apply the energy systems and some neuro requirements to help build your own training block. And that, they're the resources that I've been working on to kind of help you with those. So first of all, updates, brand new feature, which hopefully you've seen through the Facebook page and also through the email, is called the weekly roundup. And this is where I take one or two things that I've learned or that I've been working on over the last week with clients or been doing research into, and then putting it together in a way that I think that will help you with your running. That's kind of what I've been working on, and is maybe 15, maybe 20 minutes. I'll do an audio version and a video version there for you. And the idea is just to kind of start sharing stuff as I'm learning it as well, or as I'm discovering something, just as quick stuff that you can try that will help with your running. Also, if you have any ideas for that weekly roundup, then just again, just please let me know. Another update, of course, is on the Neuro Engine, which I am really excited about, because now we've got to the point where it's an intelligent learning system. Okay, and the big differentiating factor between the Neuro Engine and any other kind of exercise platform is most exercise platforms, you know, you move to week two because the plan says move to week two. And they assume that you're making the progress that the plan is suggesting that you make. The difference is Neuro Engine knows what progress you're making. It knows it from the feedback that you give on the individual exercises as you do them, and it knows when it does the reassessments. So when you progress, you're progressing in a way that's where the system has learned about how your movement is changing, and therefore how, you know, you progress through your system's development, and hopefully also in your running is changing as well. Okay, so that intelligent learning system is all written, it's working really well. And that's really the core of the whole platform. And now I'm starting to tie the whole kind of journey together in terms of the front end stuff. And I'm going to have a sneak preview for you to look at very soon. Really, really exciting. I really don't believe there's anything else out there at the moment that does it in quite the way that I do. It's exactly the same as if I was standing in front of you, coaching you and doing that kind of stuff. Okay, so main topic today is race distances and their requirements. So we're going to look at common race distances, 5K, 10K, 10 miles, half marathon, marathon, ultra marathon. Obviously, I know we do have a 5-miler common distance. We also have quarter marathons, but they're quite similar to some of the ones that are there. Now, to start off with, we're going to just go over briefly the energy systems and where the run types fit in, just so that we can have it fresh in your minds when we look at these specific distances. So we have our three main energy systems. We have our aerobic system, we have our lactic or anaerobic system, and then we have our alactic system. Okay, so we have this aerobic system is where we are most of the time. Fuels that we use are glucose, fat and oxygen, okay, in that system. Then we have the lactic and anaerobic system. Fuels we use here are glucose, that's it, because you're working so hard above your VO2 max, above threshold, is that you cannot supply oxygen fast enough to the working muscles, and it's not efficient, burning fat isn't efficient enough to use within this energy system. Then we have the alactic, which is a real top end. If you were doing a 60-meter sprint or a 100-meter sprint, for most of us, probably only 60 meters, all out, maximum velocity, then you're using your alactic system. It has maybe 8 to 10 seconds worth of energy given out. And it's called the phosphocreatine system because it doesn't use glucose, fat or oxygen. It uses a substance called phosphocreatine, which is a very intense energy production, but very, very short. So we have time in zones, aerobic. You can be in there basically forever. That's that zone we're in right now, sitting watching this. We have the anaerobic zone, which maybe you can be in for 3 minutes or so. And as I said, in the alactic, that's maybe 8 to 10 seconds. Okay, so the type of training runs that do each of the energy systems can vary a little bit. And before we go, I suppose we need to talk about threshold transition zones, my favorite zone. So this in itself is not an energy system, but it's the transition zone between aerobic and anaerobic, between that aerobic system and the lactic system. Up to about halfway, it's aerobic, and then above that it's then getting what's all a mix, but the balance is changing as we go through it. So as we get from here closer to this line, we're getting more anaerobic, okay, so less fat usage, less oxygen usage as we're going up. So it's still largely an aerobic zone up until we get to that VO2 max, that LT2 part here. And that's just an important thing to understand when we look at the next few sort of resources that I've got for you. So as the effort goes up, then we're going through these energy systems, so we need to train them. So we have our recovery run right down here, low intensity run, active recovery, we could call it. Easy run, slightly higher up in the aerobic zone, but still very, very easy. We have upper easy run, which is kind of my own terminology, and we have a tempo run. Quite often these can be the similar type of run, because tempo is one of these ones that's a little bit funny in terms of how do you actually define it. And then we have some runs that are specific to training in this threshold zone. Okay, and that's that really important zone. If you want to catch up on that and go back to last week's call, last month's call, so I should say, we have this threshold transition zone, really, really important for almost every single distance that we do. And we'll see that as we go through this presentation. So we have threshold runs there, and they can be sort of varied. They can be interval work, they can, you know, take a speed work type thing, or they can be longer ones. For example, I did a 10K threshold run earlier in the week. So they can split them up in different ways. Then we have the more, what we would think of as the more pure speed work type stuff. So hill sessions would be generally be classed as a speed work. We have kind of medium intervals, short intervals, all in this anaerobic zone. And then we have very short, high intensity intervals, you know, 30, 40, 50, 60 meter intervals in this alactic zone with big, big, big recoveries, because we need to allow this, you know, that systems to recover before you go in and do that. Otherwise, you start dropping down. So that's just a little recap on the energy systems. So the first resource I have for you is this one here. OK, and this is the energy system's contribution to each distance. So now we're, you know, forget the threshold zone for now, because that's a zone as opposed to an energy system itself, because remember, that's largely aerobic for most of that threshold zone, but it's just really high up with a mix of anaerobic in there. So if we have a look at each distance very briefly, so we have 5K distance. That's, it might not feel like it, but that's 85 to 90% aerobic. Okay, so you're still in that aerobic energy system is supplying you. So you can still use oxygen, you can still use glucose, and you can still use fat to a certain degree. 8 to 12%. Of running a 5K is in a lactic anaerobic zone, and 2 to 3% is a lactic. This is more when you're overtaking, you're doing surges. If you've got a bit of a hill coming up, and we can look at the notes for that, hilly terrain will lead to more contribution, you know, from the lactic and the alactic system. So you're going hard up a hill, you're going to go over that threshold quite quickly. And just a note on substrate is the actual source of the energy. ATP is the energy currency, if you like. It's what powers the cells, and it's just saying which energy system this is coming from. Look at 10K. Now we're slightly more aerobic. guess we do this less anaerobic, less a lactic contribution to you doing a 10K. And as we got the distances, you'll see that's a trend. Because at 5K, it's much more intense. We expect the effort to be higher because it's a shorter distance. So we look at the power efficiency ratio, much more power, less efficiency. As we go towards ultramarathon, we're going the other way around. So by the time we get to 10 miles, 95 to 97% aerobic, 3 to 5% anaerobic and less than 1% alactic. And most of the contribution at these levels here is all from either surges, sprint finish, or kind of hilly terrain. Half marathon, very similar, 95 to 97%. We can maybe even say that was 96, 98%. 2 to 4% in our anaerobic zone, and again, less than 1% in our alactic zone. Marathon, almost all aerobic with just some contribution from anaerobic and alactic. And we have ultramarathon, again, almost all aerobic there, with just the terrain, the hills and the technical aspects of it that are contributing to asking for a contribution from anaerobic and alactic. You can still go over threshold in an ultramarathon, particularly as you get fatigued. Now, this is available to you as a downloadable resource, both as a PDF and as an image file. And I've just kind of designed it so you can use it to go, OK, what distance would I like to get better at or would I like to train for? What energy system is providing the energy or the majority energy, so to help you design your training block, but also helps you with other things. It helps you with fueling, for example. So if you're fueling for a 5K, you know you can still use fat and you can still use oxygen and you can still use glucose, but because the intensity is so high, which we'll have a look at in just a minute, the chances are you're going to want a higher proportion of glucose in there because it's faster to convert that into energy than it is to convert fat into energy. So you probably want, if you're pre-fueling for a 5K, you want that to be more sugar-based, carbohydrate, quick carbohydrate-based. Okay, that's kind of what you want, that more immediate type energy. You can also see, though, from a breathing perspective, because of the intensity in there, it's largely aerobic, but you've got some anaerobic in there. So your breathing needs to reflect the intensity that you need to be doing that racing at. Then as we change, got the distances, we can see that there's less reliance on pure glucose just for that sole part of that run. So you do it 10 miles and a half marathon. Depending on whether you listen to the gel companies or how good you are, fat adaptation, but basically you can utilize a lot more fat. So for example, this is exactly the area that I would use Generation UCAN. It's called Live Steady now, but it's Generation UCAN UK, and that's this very slow burn, very specific carbohydrate preloading powder that you mix up and drink, you know, half an hour, 45 minutes before you run, and that will give you slow release carbohydrate maybe for the first hour and a half of running. Then you can start to take gels on top of that, and that gives you that kind of nice base that will continue for a bit. So you still need that you always need the carbohydrate requirement, but you're not going through it at such a fast rate, so you don't need to keep topping up straight away. And then we get to marathon, and that fueling changes as well. And depending on how your kind of gut responds to taking a gel every 5K, that can be really harsh. So finding other solutions to that can be good. And one of those ways is to learn how to utilize more fat as fuel rather than relying on the glucose. And again, that comes down to how intensely you're going to run these distances. And ultramarathon, of course, then changes it completely from there. So just a little resource, just you can see what energy system is contributing to that distance, so you can have a think about training, fueling, breathing, that kind of a thing. Okay, so the next one is this one here. Now this is looking at the time in zone for each distance. So this is saying, okay, are you in the aerobic zone, so sub-threshold? Are you in threshold? Are you above threshold? Okay, so you've got that anaerobic and you've got that alactic system. Okay, so if we look at the distances here, so we know that from the 5K, that's predominantly aerobic, okay? So really high percentage of aerobic, but actually most of it is in that threshold zone. Okay, 60 to 70% is in the threshold zone. So if you're going to train for a 5K and you want to do it well, you've got to train in that threshold zone. Okay, whether you run 3 times a week or 7 times a week, you have to have some of it at that threshold zone. You also need to have some of it at above threshold, those short, fast intervals. Okay, you need to have some of it in there. But you also do need to have some easy runs. Now, when you're running 3 times a week, that can be quite challenging. Again, we'll have a little look at that and see how you can maybe structure that. As we look at the 10K, we've got, again, more contribution in the sub-threshold zone, as you'd expect, because it's a longer distance, less intense, but we've still got a real considerable contribution in this threshold zone, almost 50-50. Okay, so you still have to be doing a lot of threshold work for to get a good 10K time. You know, doesn't matter what ability level you're at. This is energy systems. It's kind of, it's the pace that's relative. The effort, you know, is kind of, yes, you can train it, and you can. There's a whole point of training this is you bring up your aerobic zone up. But ultimately, you know, if you've got any kind of running experience at all, you need to be doing threshold training work. For 10K. 10 miles, we've still got a huge contribution in that threshold zone. Because 10 miles, if you're running a 10 mile, racing a 10 mile, okay, you're still working pretty hard. You're still working up there. You still need to have that contribution. But, you know, we have a bigger contribution from now sub-threshold. Okay, although that might be sitting fairly high up in that level. Half marathon. Again, some more aerobic sub-threshold contribution there, slightly less threshold, but still significant, okay? So big message here, if you've not been training threshold for these distances, you need to be. If you want to progress, you absolutely need to be. And then anyone that I coach, anyone at all, I tend not to get beginners, so anyone else that I coach, I mean, even for a beginner, once you've got into running a little bit, then I think you can do it through Farklet sessions. You don't have to do it through mega structure sessions. But you still need to be getting thresholds, still need to be training in that zone. Okay, so you need to be doing that. Even with a marathon. Okay, a marathon's a funny beast. For marathon and ultra marathon, I kind of split these out a little bit to differentiate between flat and hilly. Of course, it's the same across all distances, but because we're working so much in threshold and then a little bit above threshold anyway, if you're doing this type of training, you're taking into account some of the hilly stuff. But a lot of people with marathon training, they're just an ultra marathon, they go, well, all I need to do is get lots of long distance in there, lots of easy long distance, and that's just not, it just is not true. You know, you're looking at a marathon, a flat marathon, you're getting 30 to 40% contribution in the threshold zone. If it's hilly or if the terrain's a bit technical and challenging, that can be up to 50% in that zone. So again, if you're not doing any threshold training for your marathon running, you're leaving a lot on the table there. Okay, an awful lot that you're not training for. Again, you still need your short, sharp intervals as well to pull that up, particularly for handling things like, you know, hilly climbs. Ultramarathons, exactly the same. We might see that as being 99% aerobic, therefore all we need to do is get these big volume runs in, but actually, yes, it's aerobic, but we've still got a significant contribution that's coming from that threshold zone, particularly if it's hilly or the technical aspects to it. So you need to be training threshold stuff. Plus, most ultramarathons are technical courses, technical routes. They can go on, they're on for a very long time. If you're doing 50k, if you're doing 100k, it's got hills in it, you need to be doing some threshold work, and you probably need to be doing some of that short, sharp stuff as well. And you might say, well, I can't get everything in, I don't have that volume, and I get that. But if you're going to take on an ultra marathon and you want to do it well, and not necessarily racing for position or anything like that, of course, I'm just talking about doing it well for you, then if you don't do threshold work, if you're not doing some of the short, sharp stuff, then, you know, you are missing out on opportunities for you to run that better. OK, so that might just surprise people. It's not just about getting in the distance. It's about getting some, you know, structured training around these energy systems. So again, this will be available for you as a PDF and as a image file, so you can download it and you can kind of stick them together to say, okay, well, I know it's largely aerobic, but actually, you know, we still need to do some of this stuff, because it's very easy to fall into the trap. Well, I can just walk an ultra marathon. I can run walk it. And a lot of people now are doing that for marathons and half marathons. But actually, yes, you could run walk it if you want to. In fact, your goal, that's absolutely fine. But if you want to make that easier for yourself, you still need to be doing some threshold work. OK, absolutely. OK, so the next one, and this is a little bit harder to see here, so I'm going to kind of go through this with you. But again, this will be available as a download for you. This is now looking what some of the neural system demands are, okay, for each distance. So we know that for 5K and 10K, the you know, it's much more intense. Shorter distance, but much more intense. And the question really is, can the skill be expressed cleanly at speed and intensity? And can your systems deliver the output that you need at that intensity? And then we can look at like the individual systems. So if we look at the visual system, so there's an overall lower kind of relative demand for your visual system just because it's a short distance. However, because of the intensity of a 5K and a 10K, you know, there's a lot of pace judgment that has to happen, and you largely use your visual system for that, for using cues for that. So your eye movements are really important here to do this quickly. It might be less complex because of the short distance, but you also have that tight integration with a vestibular system that's under moderate to high demand here, because you've got a faster stride rate, faster cadence, higher ground reaction forces, so more power into the ground, more forces for you to handle, more joint stabilization, more postural control in a much shorter time frame that you have to do. You need to have better head and eye stability and integration, better trunk stability and integration there as well. So a big demand on your vestibular system because of the intensity. Your joint sense proprioceptor system, you need high precision, so you need really accurate maps because your joints have to stabilize in a very short amount of time. It has to be very precise in your feet, your ankles, your knees, your hips. All that needs to happen very quickly. So when you're doing things like knee circles, you're doing things like pelvic circles, once you've got the foundation there, you then need to be moving it up to sports speed, and you need to be doing it under load as well. Okay, so this is how you progress some of those what might seem very simple exercises, because certain distances require them. You need to make it distance specific. Okay, then we look at your cerebellum and your motor control. Again, the highest demand of any of these distances because it needs to be on it. This is your integration center. It needs to be sending out those instruction sets to your musculature very accurately. It needs to be correcting any errors in any of that movement in a very, very short space of time. It needs to be absolutely on it. So this is where lots of agility, lots of coordination work comes. You look at people, sports that are very short and sharp, like football and rugby, and they spend so much time in this area. If you're doing 5K and 10K in particular, that's a huge requirement for you to do that well. That will change your running by doing lots of stuff like this. And you can build some of that into your running sessions, which we will also look at as well. Okay, so when we move to 10 mile and half marathon, we then are asking our systems to provide the necessary stability and coordination under increasing load. Increasing load because the duration is getting longer. So we have to have better durability within those systems. So from a visual system perspective, we have higher attentional demand because it has to be paying attention for a longer distances. Looking around you, scanning, watching out for people in the race. What, you know, if it's a trail 10 mile or trail half marathon, you've got the added thing as well as the people, you've got the terrain to deal with as well. And then we have higher demand on the system's integration endurance side of things with vestibular and proprioceptor systems, because we're now getting into longer distances, but still maintaining a pretty high effort. If you think back to, that time in zone chart, okay, table, you can see that a lot of this is threshold and still pretty high threshold. And that's why these three resources are designed to be used together. So you can go, okay, I want to train for a 10 mile or a half marathon. what energy system contributes, what zones do I need to be training in, what neuro stuff do I need to be really paying attention to, in and in what way to so I can race this as the way that I want to. So we can see that poor vestibular skill here can lead to tension and early fatigue. You start to lose postural control. Okay, so you see a lot of people who start to hunch over and really flex forward when they get tired. This is vestibular system fatiguing. Okay, and potentially integration. Well, most likely integration as well. But a lot of that is vestibular system fatigue creeping in here. From a proprioceptive perspective, endurance requirements for accurate joint sense mapping and systems integration has increased significantly over 5 and 10K. Okay, you've also got increased signal noise that's coming through, partly from fatigue. So you need high quality maps, high quality predictive priors that your brain can rely on as you are, particularly as you're going, you know, in the last third of these type of distances. From a cerebellum and motor control perspective, you need sustained precision under a relatively high intensity. Okay, so 10 miles and half marathon, still pretty intense races for most people. And you have to do that under a much longer period of time. Okay, so there's a massive endurance requirement here. So when you're looking at doing things like motor control and cerebellum drills, okay, so things like doing anything that's doing complex motor things, even doing piano fingers, you need to be doing that for a longer period of time. You need to actually be going out and doing that in your running. And, you know, when you get tired in some of your training runs, you need to then specifically put that into practice. And then in our kind of a future core, we will now we've got this, we can use that and say, okay, I want to train for a half marathon. What type of stuff can I do to meet the demands of that system? Okay. Let me move on to the marathon. And for me, the marathon is probably the pinnacle of high intensity and duration. Because once you get past marathon distance and into ultra marathon, it all changes. Your intensity comes down quite considerably. But the marathon, you can still race a marathon very hard, but you've got a huge demand on your systems because you've got that endurance. Whether you're doing, you know, 2 hours 45 or whether you're doing 5 hours 45, it's all relative, but it's still a high demand for a very long period of time. Arguably, if you're on that, you know, 4 hours to 6 hours mark, more time on feet means more endurance demand for your system. So you have to train them appropriately. Visual system, high demand for hours on end. Okay, and also chuck in there all the scanning you have to do, all the environmental stuff you have to do. Your visual system itself will start to degrade as you get fatigued. So even more important to do endurance stuff on all the eye work that you do. It's not just about doing five reps and that's it. You've got to do an awful lot more than that. You need to be absolutely on it. So that system, you're reducing the fatigue within that system. Okay, you've also got glycogen depletion going on as well. Again, fueling is super important for anything that any of your systems performance. You need to be having that glucose going in there. Okay, you need to be fueled well so that you can help to reduce the fatigue within the individual systems and the integration across them. So you've got that to take into account as well. So from a vestibular system, your massive postural control challenges. So this is where you see running form really falling apart. Yeah, you can call it the war, you can call it whatever you like. Ultimately, your systems are starting to fail. So your brain is starting to shut things down. As we saw from that half marathon research last year, near the end of last year, one of the things your brain does is start to simplify the movement. And that's so it can keep control of all of your systems here. And it can help keep you safe. So marathon is a huge test of systems performance under fatigue conditions. To me, it's kind of the ultimate test at a high intensity. We have a big test for the proprioceptive system as well. Those joint sense mapping has a lot of endurance for it. You get a lot of noise creeping in with fatigue, so you have to make sure that your mapping is good. All those lunge positions, all those knee circle positions, ankle circle positions, all those foundation exercises, which you'll find all in the Runner by Design membership, they're all designed to help you to get through all this. You know, you should be doing all these things, but in a more endurance-based way. You know, you need all those high-quality mapping and high quality predictive priors to really help your brain, so when it gets fatigued, it has to do less processing. From a cerebellum and motor control perspective, a marathon is incredibly demanding. Okay, you still got to have the precision of coordination and joint control as you do in a 5K, under slight less intensity, of course, but you've got to do it over hugely longer amount of time, combating accumulating fatigue, combating things like reducing glycogen. So, you know, this cerebellar function is incredibly important. So when we talk about doing agility and coordination for 5K and 10K, you need to be doing the same thing, but over a much longer period of time for your marathons. Okay. And so that's why some of the sessions that you do, some of the threshold training sessions and the other quality sessions, are helping to train the stuff built in. And then you supplement that stuff with some exercises outside of that. By the time you get to ultramarathon, it's changed. But now you have two main challenges, okay? You've got long duration, okay? So particularly if you're doing 100K or 100 miles, massive duration challenges there. But you've also got demanding terrain. As I say, most ultramarathons are not done on kind terrain. We have, you know, the local ones here, certainly the one from Moose Valley, which actually is neck downhill. That's a pretty nice, you can run that like a marathon. That's pretty good. I enjoy that one for that perspective. But most others aren't like that. It's unforgiving terrain. And it's a massive systems demand, and you need to keep solving those movement problems for a very long time under fatigue and challenging environmental conditions. If we just look at the visual system, it's a very high demand for the hours of sustained scanning and changing light conditions, going from being able to see quite well to suddenly not being able to see. So we have a sensory reweighting here. So you're taking the visual system out. So you've got to have good vestibular and proprioceptive systems to pick that up. Otherwise, you lose a lot of performance and you also increase your injury risk. So this is where the integration between the systems becomes very, very important. Excuse me, from our vestibular system, we have a huge endurance demand, as we do with the other systems. Postural control, again, yes, less overall intensity, but you've got to do that for a long period of time. So the vestibular training that you need to do, you need to make sure that you're doing it consistently. And I think you need to be building it into a lot of those long runs as well. When I'm doing my marathon training at the moment, a lot of my long runs, I'm doing things like VOR, visual ocular reflex work, as I'm doing some of the runs. Of course, I'm not doing throughout the whole run, but I'm doing this, I'm doing this, I'm doing in, you know, maybe every kilometre or every so, I'll do 10 seconds or 15 seconds, particularly if I start to feel tired, because I'm training that in that fatigue state for that adaptation. It just helps with stability and stuff. Proprioceptive system, obviously, huge demand for joint mapping and joint sense. You've got to know where your ankles are and where your feet are. We know your brain simplifies stuff down when your cerebellum gets really challenged. So, you know, you have to be able to adapt to that by having really good body awareness if you want to perform well over that ultramarathon distance. And again, cerebellum motor control, huge, huge, huge endurance demand on that. And the changing terrain can make that even more challenging. So we have the three charts, three sort of tables that you can use together, so you can start to think about what types of runs hit the particular requirements. You've got your easy runs, you've got your tempo runs, and your different various types of speed work, and of course you've got your threshold runs. And so you need to be thinking about, how do we build this in? Well, today we're going to look at 5 and 10K examples. Okay, and then in the next month's call, in September's call, we're going to look at 10-mile half marathon, and we'll probably cover marathon and ultramarathon as well in that particular session. So let's look at the demands of 5K. So we know it's predominantly aerobic energy supply, but that's mainly coming from your threshold zone. Okay, so that should say, okay, we need to be including some recovery runs, some easy runs, some long-ish runs, depending on what you enjoy, and some upper easy and tempo runs, as well as threshold runs, and our speed work, so above threshold. Okay, now this will change. You can't, if you're running three times a week, you cannot fit all of this in. So you have to start to plan it kind of, you know, intelligently, so you cover what the requirements of that 5K is. Just do that going out and running two easy runs a week and one park run isn't going to cut it if you want to improve. It just isn't going to. Okay, and if you want longevity in running, you have to train these systems. Okay, 10K, again, predominantly aerobic, but this can come quite often from equal aerobic and threshold zones. So now maybe our requirement changes slightly, but we still want to include all the same runs. Okay, so we have this variety. From a neurological perspective, as well as trying to cover off the bases that we have in terms of those neural demands, we also have novelty. Okay, your brain likes novelty in training, and it doesn't care whether you're running, you know, training for a 5K, a 10K, a marathon, or a cycling, or just going out for a walk, or just surviving in life. It likes novelty so it can learn and adapt. So it likes to have load, enough load for adaptation, but not so much load that it starts to fail. So let's now have a look at how do some of these sessions fit into what you have available to you in any kind of given week. So if you're running three runs a week, as I say, it's low frequency. Okay, so every single run has to earn its place. You do not have the luxury of saying, OK, I'm going to do a nice, easy recovery run with my mates on a Monday, and I'm going to do my own easy 5K run on a Wednesday, and then I'll do a park run on a Saturday and expect to get better, because you're not going to. If you do, it's a bit of a fluke, to be honest. OK, so we have to be pretty brutally honest about that. If you actually want to improve, if that is your goal, then that is, of course, it's absolutely fine. But if you want to get better, and by better, yes, faster, but also making it feel easier for you, but also from a health perspective, you know, the more efficient you are at the different zones, the better you are at muscular coordination, the better you are at the neuromuscular integration, and better you are at the systems integration things, the healthier you tend to be as an individual, the more you'll be able to stay within the sport. OK, so it's not just about performance in terms of times, performance in a much wider sense. So, you know, you just, I say, you don't have room for wasted easy running. And a lot of people will just fall into that trap. Or they'll do one token speed session a week and think that's just going to get them to do it without any thought behind it, really. But the opposite is also true. There's no room for stacking multiple hard days. There's no point of doing the opposite and saying, right, well, I've only got three sessions a week. Each one has to be all out all the time, because that's also not helping. Okay, because you're not training the energy systems. Think energy systems. Okay, that's the prior. How much time do you spend in each zone? You have to have some easy stuff in there. You have to have some threshold stuff in there, and you have to have some hard stuff in there. How do you do that on three runs a week? As I mentioned, it is a challenging form of progression. So how do you do the three runs a week? Well, one of the ways you can do this is by following a format similar to this. So one run, which is an easy run, and then we have some strides after it. So 6 to 8 20-second strides. And the purpose of this particular run is you're building up your aerobic base with your easy run. OK, and that distance, it depends on who you are as an individual and what you like to do. If you're training for 5K, you might only be 5Ks, 6Ks, up to maybe, you know, 8Ks for your easy run. OK, but the importance is the strides, because you're getting this neuromuscular coordination in there. You're starting to put together some of those neural demands, but you're also starting to, you know, you're keeping in there some of the stiff spring stuff. OK, by doing these strides. And strides are, it's not a full out sprint, but it's running quite hard, but it's concentrating on that springiness, that form. And it's just like 6 to 8, 20 seconds at the end of your run. OK, you do it when you've done your run, so you're slightly fatigued. It has more of an adaptation benefit. Run number two, threshold session. 20 to 25 minutes of continuous threshold. OK, so threshold 7 to 8 out of 10. It should feel difficult by the time you're getting, if you're doing a 20 minute continuous run, it should feel difficult by the time you get to about 16, 17 minutes. That should start to feel hard, and you've got to concentrate and push yourself to get to the end of that. OK, that's how it should feel. You could split this down, which is what kind of we do with forward runners. If you split this down into smaller, they're long intervals, but smaller blocks, 3 times 8 minutes, for example. And then you might start off with a 2 minute recovery between those, or even a 3 minute recovery between those. And then over your blocks, you would reduce that recovery down. so that you've got less adaptation time, so you're forcing yourself up to that zone. Again, if you're doing that 3 times 8 minutes, the last couple of minutes of that should be hard. You should have to push to be able to fit it. You should be going, my goodness, what am I doing here? Okay, but you're looking for consistency across these 3 8-minute efforts. Okay, this is your quality session. It's a key quality session that is doing all the work and pulling up or pushing out that threshold zone and bringing up that aerobic zone. Okay, that's a really, really important session to do. Run 3, longest run. Again, it depends whether you're doing 5K or 10K, what that long run will be. Doing 5K, you probably don't need to do any more than 8K or 10K in itself. 10K, it depends on how experienced you are. You know, if you've been running for a long time, you've done longer distances, then, you know, 10, 12K as a long run, maybe 15K is absolutely fine. What you want to make sure you're doing is not fatiguing yourself out with a long run so you can't do the rest of it. Now, a way to get all that in when you're running 3 times a week is to rotate that long run with a VO2 max interval session on alternating weeks. Okay, so 1 week you go out and do your easy long run, helping to keep that aerobic volume, and on the next week you do a high intensity VO2 max session. Okay, 10 times 100 meters, something like that, where it's really, really hard. You're looking to get maximum velocity out of it, but you may be having a 3-minute recovery between each of those 100 meters. Roadrunners hate doing that because there's a lot hanging around, but if you're not doing that, you're not training up in that zone. Again, this brings everything up. Okay, that's how you would fit it into 3 times a week, and you build a monthly block based on this alternating one. Okay, and of course you can change this around. You can do 6 to 8 20-second strides. You could do 2 sets of maybe 5 times 15-second strides. You know, you progress it up and do it that way. Okay, so you can mix and match it around. Okay, so what if you're doing 4 runs a week? So now we can separate out our threshold running and our more intense speed work. Okay, so we can separate them out a little bit because we've got an extra run in there that we can do that with. And when I say 4 runs a week, I'm really thinking 4 days a week. If you're doubling up like 2 runs in the same day, that changes things slightly. I do occasionally do this, but if I'm going to do that, the extra run's a very, very easy recovery run. Okay, I wouldn't try and do, well, certainly wouldn't do 2 interval sessions in the same day, not at any intensity. I have done that when I've been coaching before, but the intensity for me has been quite low. I certainly wouldn't want to do a upper easy or a tempo or a threshold run. You know, 2 of those in the same day, unless you're pretty experienced, in which case you can do that. That's kind of what some of the Norwegian method is all about. But really, I think for most of us, I probably wouldn't be looking at that. Okay, I think there are better ways that we can utilize our time if you're running 4 days a week. Okay, four times a week, if one of those is a double. If you're running 3 days a week, but one of those is a double, I think you just need to have a recovery run in there. So we have a little bit more room for our easy running, and it can look a little bit like this. Okay, so let me put me out the way somewhere over here. So run 1, easy run, and that's our aerobic base. Okay, so again, easy run. When I was training 4 times a week, I would alternate this 5K 1 week, 8K the next week, and then I would do the opposite on that one. So my Monday run would be a 5K, Wednesday run would be an 8K plus strides, and then I would switch it around the following week. That'd be an 8K, that'd be a 5K plus strides. Okay, and that's the way I do it. So we're still getting our easy run in there. We're still getting a threshold session in there. So we've got 25 to 30 minutes continuous. So we're increasing that time at threshold. 4 times 6 minutes might be an example. Some of the stuff we do with the Vode runners sessions is a lot of that. This is why I put so much threshold stuff in there, because it's so key to be able to do that. You might split that. Might be 2 times 10 minutes. You might have 3 times 10 minutes. You might have 10 times 5 minutes or 6 times 5 minutes. You know, it's all about getting that threshold work in there, like maybe with 2 or 3 minute recoveries in between. And again, this is the same quality session we're looking at. Then we have this easy run with strides. The strides, again, for our neuromuscular training, for our coordination training, for that mechanics training. But it gives us a bit of a recovery here as well in this easy run. And we probably want that easy run to be a recovery, either a recovery run or on that lower end of, you know, easy. It's probably not a recovery run, I would suggest, although you could do, depending on how intense you're making your threshold and your VO2 max sessions. Okay, again, we can alternate this with a long run if you want to. So we can do our VO2 max interval session. So we would alternate that on a 4-week block. We might do VO2 max week one, interval session week two, long one week three, interval session week four. And then I would start that same thing again, VO2 max. So you do VO2 max, interval, long run, interval, VO2 max, long run, interval. And do it that way. Okay, so an example of, well, VO2 max ones, we're looking at that really high end stuff. That's the 100 meters, maybe 150 meters, but really 100 meters or less. That's what you're looking at. If you want to do it in seconds, you're looking at 10 seconds, maybe 15 seconds sprints. That's more VO2 max, right top end. You maybe get away with doing 200 meters, but they're not really hitting that VO2 max. But they're probably, for a road runner, probably enough. Interval sessions, then we're looking at still short, sharp stuff. Five to six 800s, for example. You do 600s, 800. Pyramids are good for this, a 400 and 800. Or 400, 600, 800, 800, 600, 400. A couple of sets of those. Or even just one set, that's pretty intense. You know, we can do 4 times 4 minutes, but they're done at a higher intensity than just standard threshold, but you'd have a longer recovery. So you might do 4 minutes at kind of 8 out of 10, if you can hold it, and then you would have, but you'd then have a 3 or 4 minute recovery before you then do another one. Okay, and that's covering all the bases. So I would say for most people, running 4 times a week is quite a good balance if you're really strapped for time. So if we're moving then on to 5 runs a week, we have that room for 2 high quality sessions. We now have a bit more room for a bit more easy running, maybe different aerobic zone levels we can fit in across that aerobic zone as well. And then we have room for a long run by itself. So we're now adding more of that consistent endurance and systems durability in there. So we have easy run as normal, aerobic base. You could probably get away with doing a longer easy run, but quite often I'm the same. These days, I run sort of 5-6 days a week at the moment. That for me might be an 8K or a 13K, and then I'll do, I'll alternate that Monday to Wednesday, depending. So if I'm doing a 13K or an 8K on a Monday at the moment, mostly I'll do a 13K on a Wednesday, or actually days are slightly different, it'll be on a Friday for me at the moment. But that's the way I'm doing it. So, but they're kind of, you want to be active recovery on this day. So easy run, somewhere mid probably aerobic zone, lower to mid threshold zone. Similar type of sessions as before, 20 to 30 minute continuous running, or 4 times 8 minutes, 3 times 10 minutes, 10 times 5 minutes, same kind of sessions that we've been doing. That's the quality sessions again, but then you're getting more quality sessions in here. We then have a recovery run, so it's the first time we've seen a proper recovery run. So that's then really low level active recovery, because now we have the luxury of adding that in to here. So that gives us a little bit of recovery before we then go into this VO2 max interval session. And again, we can rotate these. Week one, VO2 max, week two, interval. Week three, VO2 max, week four, interval. Okay. And again, VO2 max are 100 meters, 150 meters, maybe 200 meters maximum. Then our interval sessions are anything from 200 meters up. And even including things like 6 times 1,000, that's a pretty big session, or 5 times 3 minutes. Yes, some of this is kind of crossover with our threshold here a little bit as well, but it depends on how you run them, because you want the end part of these to be pretty difficult to do. But the longer distance here is really good for this coordination and mechanics training in particular. Okay, so run number 5. Long runs, and then we have the strides in here. Once you're tired, adding your strides in here just wakes everything up, and you're just doing a little bit of systems adaptation in there as well. Okay, 6 and 7 runs a week. Now we have just more room for an extra session in here. Okay. and we've got room to convert some of these easy runs into a tempo run. And we can see, let me just try and move myself out of the way. So run one, again, similar format. You can see it's a very, very similar format here. Easy runs day one and three. Three, again, is this really active recovery run, really low level, super easy run. We've got our threshold runs in there, as we have done and the other plans, all exactly the same. Got our VO2 max alternating interval session here, really, really important for our energy systems. And then we can add in our extra run here as easy run, another easy run, but we can add strides into it, but it also could be a tempo run. This is quite often where I would convert this into an upper easy or tempo run. So I'm working maybe up higher up in that aerobic zone. So not into threshold, maybe just dipping in and out. This would be my pushing the envelope runs that I often do, where I'm just pushing it a little bit, but still trying to keep it easy. And in my head, I'm thinking about when I'm doing these ones, I'm thinking about balancing out how much can I push it, but still make it feel easy. OK, and on these ones, this could be anything from 5K to 10K on this runs here. OK, and then you have your long run in there as well. So we're covering a lot of the neuro stuff in here as well, because we've got all the speed and coordination work, all those demands that we have to have through those systems. What our easy runs and long runs allow us to do is add some of the visual work in there, as some of the vestibular work in there as well. We're getting the proprioceptive work as part of the running. I would also suggest doing all that kind of stuff outside of it. Lunge positions, knee circles, hip circles, all that kind of stuff. Ankle tilts. Still doing those. It's still important. They might feel easy, but we can do wider ranges of motion. We can attach bands. We can do all that kind of stuff with it as well. Okay. So let's remind ourselves. Of this particular chart here. So this is our time in zone for each distance. And for me, out of all three charts, I like to use them together, but all three charts, this is the one where, in terms of your training, the type of sessions you choose to do, this is what will dictate it. Okay? Because just look at this. This is the bit I want people to pay attention to. Most people are assuming it's in this zone here. Okay? They're assuming that the percentages are maybe the other way around. So if that's what you're assuming, then you're missing out an awful lot in your training, just to reiterate that, okay? So we've got to be doing that training. So if you have any questions about this, then please, contact me, send them in, ask me, WhatsApp, email me, ask on the Facebook group. Other people can contribute there as well. Next week, say we'll look at 10-mile, half marathon, marathon, and ultra marathon. Probably get all of those in, because I'm not going to have to do all of those first bits. Resources will be available for you. If you want to have more examples of sessions, then just ask for them, and we'll start give you some examples of other sessions that you can do. And there are lots of good resources. Now you know what zones you need to train in. You can use some AI or Google it, and you'll get some sessions that will tell you or help you to train in some of those zones. Okay, and that's the beauty about this. Once you know the zones, you can start building your own blocks there as well. So I hope you found that useful, and I look forward to next time.